I don't know if the tutorials were always just clicking in terms of actually how to now go ahead and build this. But there was definitely a moment after working on this thing that I really cared about where things started to click. It was in that time when we hadn't spoken for a little bit, and it really started to click. And I was just like pumping. I was pumping. And I was like, wow, this now is starting to resonate with me. And then I was so excited to you to see those features.
Hello and welcome to the PyBytes podcast, where we talk about Python, career, and mindset. We're your hosts. I'm Julian Sequeira.
And I am Bob Beldebos. If you're looking to improve your Python, your career, and learn the mindset for success, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the PyBytes podcast, episode 49. This is Bob, and I'm here with...
Julian. How's it going, man?
Good. And we're also here with a very special guest, Ryan Austin. Hey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Julian. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
And maybe you remember his voice because Ryan was actually on the show on episode 37, The Confidence to Follow Your Dreams. And we were so stoked about that conversation that we invited him back.
Yeah, stoked to have you here, Ryan. And we're not going to cover the same stuff, if anyone's wondering. It's all good. We've got some fresh content here for you, but super chuffed to have you here. How's the week going so far?
Pretty good. I think it's been a week of high highs and a lot of code. So pretty good.
Nice.
Perfect. So we'll kick off with those highs. So Ryan, being the guest, why don't you go first and share a quick win?
A quick win. Okay, so this week passed for my app. I guess that we were going to talk about a bit on the podcast today. I had my first user, real user, not like a friend or anything, just like a real user, a real business. They joined up and signed up to use my SaaS. And they ran, the app, I guess a bit of a reveal here, is a payroll application, and they ran their business's payroll using my app, like a real business payroll. And I mean, I guess anyone that has an app or built anything like that would be stoked to see someone do something real on it, you know, and trust and have the trust and confidence to use something that you built. So that was surreal to me. And so, yeah, that's my win. Small one. Nothing major.
Small win.
It's a small win. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So good. That is incredible. What a win. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian. Thanks, Bob.
Well, yes. I don't think we should even bother, Bob, because I don't think...
Yeah, that wraps up the wins. What about you, Julian?
So one was a big win for me. I struggle with switching off because, you know, with work and PyBytes and all that stuff. So I've actually been off for the past 8 days, I would say. Completely offline, almost a digital detox. I did pop on, you know, Twitter and watch Netflix and stuff from time to time in the evenings when the kids were asleep. But, spent 8 days away with the family, about 4 hours north of Sydney, by the beach in an apartment with some good friends, and kids played together. It was just perfect. And I think the big takeaway from me from that, which could be an episode in itself, so I won't dive into it, but was just the whole prioritizing. You know, when you switch off and you disappear from the day job and all that stuff, it really helps you realign and readjust your priorities in life. And I definitely did some soul searching and just came back completely refreshed. So that's my win.
Nice, man. Pretty happy to hear.
Thanks, guys. What about you, Bob?
And now for reference, we have a dedicated episode about taking breaks, number 35, time for a break. So
I don't even remember that. I need a break.
That's why I did the break thing and you interviewed me about it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're struggling with switching off, then apart from following Julian's advice, that episode might be helpful.
Perfect.
My win, like, can still not reveal what we're working on, but working on something really cool that solves a pretty big problem in the industry, we think. And the win is that the UI got like three times better because I took JavaScript seriously and implemented some really cool effects. But yeah, it's soon to be revealed.
Yeah, coming back today and seeing what you built was just incredible. Looks sleek.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah.
So much secrecy, guys. So much secrecy. What is it? Reveal, no, reveal.
None of your business. Get your own app. No, on that note, you do have your own app. So we're going to dive into that now. So, Ryan, we're going to let you take it from here. Why don't you tell us this payroll app that you mentioned before with this win. Tell us a little bit about it and where the idea came from, how you got to it. Go for it.
Thank you, Julian. Again, Bob, happy to be here. So the payroll app is an online service that takes care of payroll for businesses in the Bahamas. It's a SaaS app, and every country has their own unique labor laws and taxes as it relates to payroll. And the payroll app is built around the labor laws and taxes of my country, the Bahamas. It's built in Django and Python, and I guess a bit about the stack. Your typical players like AllAuth and AnyMail and SendGrid and Wheezy Print for PDF generation. It's hosted on Roku, which I'm quite happy with. Just the ease of service. I'm using Django Storages, and I got some images there that I'm pushing to an S3 bucket. Shout out to PyBytes Tools, pretty good S3 bucket tool there. That made doing that quite easy. And so, the idea for the app came from out of my own business, where I would do payroll for my team on a biweekly basis. And I just found that payroll was slow, it was inefficient. And after working with my team all week, I certainly didn't want to pay them. No, I delight in paying them. I delight in paying them on time. But the process was just so slow and inefficient that it didn't make the delight I had in paying them very delightful. And so I set out to build something that would solve that for me. And so when I joined the PDM, I had this list of things I wanted to build, but my heart was centered around this payroll app, and I actually remember Bob asking, okay, so which one are we going to start with? Should we start with these, like the easy one, kind of like knock that out and then go ahead? And I was like, no, I want to do payroll, because I was just thinking of my frustration. And I'm so happy that I did, because I spent the last, I guess, 3 and a half months on this thing. And I couldn't be happier with it. So there we are. Did I miss anything?
No, that's perfect. So you clearly scratch your own itch, right? Where good ideas start.
Yes. Yeah, Bob. And within scratching my own itch, I built something that I would use for myself. But also I started to see, wow, this thing can actually be a SaaS. And so I started to make those changes about halfway in, so that I can instantly deploy this and use this for others. And so that's where we are today.
That's great. That's amazing.
And SaaS stands for software as a service, right?
Software as a service. Thanks, Bob.
I thought you meant giving people SaaS. Like attitude. Okay, this changes the podcast completely. Yeah. Okay. All right, so I've got a question for you then. I might be leading you on a little bit with this one, but for good reason. So you scratched your own itch. You had a problem. You obviously had a list, as you mentioned, of other ideas that you wanted to build. But this meant a lot to you because it was close to your heart. It was solving a real problem for you, for your employees. I also love that you said you take delight in paying your employees. So I'm going to come work with you one day. But the thing here is it's not easy, right? I mean, through the program, this was difficult. And even after the PDM program, I know that you've had hurdles to overcome with the technology here and the coding. Is it easier to focus this down and solve the problems, like jump those hurdles, because it's something that means something to you versus just some random idea?
Yeah, no, thanks for framing that in that way, Julian, because yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know what I'm going to say. It is because, if I didn't care about this, then if I ran into a hurdle, I'd be like, oh, screw it. Let me go do something new. Let me just go and pull out a new tutorial and build this new thing that I don't care about. But because I care about this one, because it's a tool that I have to use myself too, and now because I actually have a real user and with the hope to get more, three, I need to solve this problem. Any problem I have, there's intense and immense focus around solving that problem and not dropping it. My GitHub issues log, things that I built, like my own little developer scratch, is quite the list, and a lot of like little developer goodies, things that I'd like to be able to display in the app. But there are also some user requests inside there, and some things that the user would like to see a little differently, and those are the ones that are most important. And it really made me think about, in fact, some of the things that I see developers, for example, say that they on like a platform such as Twitter, it just resonates so much more now because now I actually see, and I'm doing it myself, right? I have a bit of skin in the game. I understand what I should be doing, and even though I have my little itches, I need to fix those user issues. And because those issues are my issues and I care about them, then I stick with them and I stick them all the way through.
That's
Because
brilliant.
I remember the skin in the game
Skin in the
discussion
game.
last time, episode 37. So that's a good reference to put here.
That's right. It's now a term that I can't even use without thinking about it, without thinking about our experience, Bob, reading that book.
The reading date.
So that I'm just going to jump in with a follow-on for that, Ryan. And for everyone, I know everyone's probably thinking, oh, look, Julian, you threw Ryan an easy question, but the point of that was to really get that, to drill that point in, that repetition, that when you're building something that you care about, it really helps you stay motivated to learn code, to push, to develop, to jump the hurdles when things get tough. So Ryan, with that in mind, I just want to set the scene a little bit with where you were when you started building this, because just for anyone listening, the idea of building your entire payroll application for a small business or even a large business seems monumental, right? How many people out there are thinking, God, yeah, right. This guy probably knew the ins and outs of Django and AWS and whatever it is, and you just need a little tweaks here and there. So do
Too
you want
good
to
to be
just
true.
exactly, right? And I really want to inspire people to take that view that anyone can do anything, anyone can do it. So, do you want to just tell everyone where you were at when you started?
Julian, you're on a roll here because I see now that I actually, sometimes when you for example, follow a developer or see people talking about development, you actually don't realize that sometimes, they can speak freely and use these terms. For example, like how I was, oh, I use OAuth and Anymail and Wheezyprint. That is, it's now like a part of my wheelhouse, but 3 months ago it wasn't. None of this was Django Python. At best, I would write a lot of scripts, but no real program, something that worked functionally and put together. I would, write little tools, but nothing I cared about. And so when I started this process, I had just started learning Python. And when I say just started, I literally was writing Hello World. And oh, look, this cool ad, oh, look at this cool script. When I call it up, if you want to, do you want to know what's the base of 64? So I want to say very clearly that I had very little clue what to do here, right? I just knew that This tool looked very interesting. I had a burning desire to learn it, but no idea beyond, if I'm being very, very honest, no idea beyond, say, a couple of lines of Hello World and, you know, how to write this or write that. You know, so yeah, that's where I was before starting this journey.
Wow, amazing. That's really good to know. So what were some of the challenges when building this, I guess from the beginning and still now after MVP or minimal viable product is ready?
Okay, so I didn't write a note on this. So I don't want to forget to not say that the challenges that I had could not be solved without mentorship. And now let me back up and say that some of the challenges that I had, for example, early on was setting the UI straight and getting it to work together. You know, I believe sometimes you have an idea, but prototyping that idea and putting that on the screen, like drawing it on the screen, is so daunting. And early on, I realized, okay, with a payroll application, you pretty much you need something that kind of like looks and feels like Excel, right, with all these cells and this sort of thing. And starting the research, I ran into form sets. And because of the mentorship that I had in PDM with you, Bob, that was like the initial first hurdle. And even watching you, I mentioned this to you before, even watching you, okay, kind of like, okay, how do we get this form set to do exactly what we wanted to do, was for me like, wow, look at him go. He's a magician. And it, you know, and you did it, and you helped me implement that part of the program. But since then, I had to deconstruct that and rebuild it, which fostered my own real learning in it. But I could have stopped right there. I would have been stuck right there. So, for example, building that form set and that page was the initial, was like one of those early on or this early stage, very difficult hurdles to overcome. Another even more simple one was like, what do I start? What's the first thing I should put on the page? You know, and I think you casually would mention like, oh, well, you know, maybe you want to get a navigation and, you know, look at these. You could just throw this inside there. Like, don't reinvent the wheel. I think you use that term a lot early on. You must say that to a lot of your PDMers. You said it to all the PDMers, all the PDM gals. Don't reinvent the wheel. So yeah, there's a bit of that. So just trying to figure out exactly where to start, and then it was a early stage hurdle, and one of the really difficult problems was how to get form sets to work. And then going back to what I said earlier is that it would have been extremely difficult to get past those hurdles without having a mentor. You know, PDM or not, it just would have been too difficult, you know, to say, you know, not someone to lean on. And I'm still leaning on Bob.
No, man, that's amazing. But, you know, I know you say you're leaning on Bob, but you're still the one that puts in the hard yards, right? So I do want to point that out.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, like it's really when, you know, I have a tough question about, listen, you know, you've been doing this for so long. How would you do about doing this? And for him to just write like a sentence back, sometimes it leads you into, you know, what could have been, you know, a couple of hours of YouTube and Google searching. And just one sentence is like, ah, great, you know, perfect. And then now I can go look that thing up. You know, go and look up this library that's like a whole encyclopedia. Let me go look. But at least now I'm directed and focused. So absolutely. Yeah, but absolutely. But, I'm still the one there doing it until like 3, 4 a.m. in the morning.
Well, the beauty was like when we started working, we had some pairing sessions and stuff. And, you know, over time, you went implementing more and more code. And then I think the last time we met, we hadn't seen each other for a month or so. And all of a sudden you had all these wicked features pretty advanced, and it's almost like that form set moment was like the pivotal moment. And form sets are kind of complex in Django, right? But yeah, it's you're just picking it up very fast now. So that's very, very gratifying to see, you know. And I think that's for the audience listening, the benefit of not only the mentoring but also to tackling like a really complex problem or app is that you get that holistic view and knowledge of software development, and you can grow so much faster, right? And I think you have experienced that firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the missing link in the tutorials, where if you're doing a tutorial, you're kind of following along with something. And if you do enough of those, maybe you start to really realize how to build your own thing. That can definitely be a path for it to click for someone. Definitely different paths for everyone. For me, I don't know if the tutorials were always just clicking in terms of actually how to now go ahead and build this. But there was definitely a moment after working on this thing that I really cared about, and after working with you for quite a while, where things started to click. It was in that time when we hadn't spoken for a little bit, and it really started to click. And I was just like pumping. I was pumping. And I was like, wow, this now is starting to resonate with me. And then I was so excited for you to see those features. And you were also at the same time working on something that's like, hey, Ryan, check this out. And I'm like, no, check out my feature first. Like a best mom. He's so proud of me.
yeah, that was nice. Competing for attention. Yeah, we were both working on stuff and testing each other's apps. That was really cool. Yeah,
no, absolutely. I can't wait till you reveal what you'll be working on. My gosh, it's so cool.
We will. I'm almost at this point to do it right now. 1-2 Julian will smack me, you know, like 1 or 2 weeks. Promised you. 1 or 2 weeks. Max.
Thanks for another episode of PyBytes Podcast. We're going to wrap it up here.
Julian just doesn't let me, you know.
Negative. Nothing was said. Julian, I need one of those neuralizers.
Let the beast free.
Well, I reckon we give it another week. Yeah, we made a list tonight of what needs to be done first. All right, so Ryan, I got one last question for you, just on the mindset of all of this. As you mentioned, you came in, you know, relatively green. You know, you barely knew any of this stuff, and you've come out. You said 3 months, right? That's incredible, and should be mentioned. And I'm blown away by what you've achieved in such a short period of time. When things got tough, though, and this is just me listening to everything you've been saying and just coming up with this question on the fly, was there anything that you had to tell yourself to push through it? Because, you know, you've got a family, you've got that the business itself to run. You were up till all hours of the night working on this. Surely it was weighing at you that, oh, you know what, I just want to give up for a day or something. How did you motivate yourself?
My wife always teases me because I'm kind of like a running library of quotes and principles, but there's a principle and a quote. How do I forget his name? I say it all the time, but anyhow, the quote is: "The heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they while they well their companions slept were toiling upwards through the night." And that will just, if I'm going till 3, 4, 5 a.m., like the night before I put this app in my user's hand, I didn't sleep for 36 hours. I was just coding and fixing and ensuring that it was absolutely ready for them. And ringing through my ears the entire time was the heights. Oh, it's Henry, someone look it up. The heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards through the night. It's an entire beautiful poem that I love, and I can recite it all because I kind of pull those excerpts when I need them.
Nice. We'll look it up and link it in
the Longfellow. Show. It's Longfellow. It's by Longfellow. That's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice,
oh, that's
nice.
Great.
Yeah, you got to toil. I guess the point there, Julian, just to bring it home, is that you have to know what you want and who you want to be and leave it all out there. And that's what I try to do. You know, I'm going to just leave it all out there because, you know, what's the point of not?
Yeah.
You know, you pretty much you reap what you sow, right? That's another one. Easy.
No. And it's nice. Be honest with me, is it? It's just between us. It's almost addicting, isn't it?
It's, dude, it's so addicting. I am so happy. I got to, you know, use this opportunity to just give kudos to my wife who lets me sit in the dark room and just do this. It's like, and the kids will be running behind me and they'll, sometimes my daughter, she'll come, she'll push me back, right? I'm sitting in my chair. So imagine this, I'm sitting in my chair at my office desk. My daughter will come, she will like rush, roll my chair back and then sit in my lap and then sit there to start drawing something. and then my arms are like reached around her, right? Imagine me reaching around her to my keyboard, you know? And then like, as if I'm actually being daddy, good daddy, I'm just giving her kisses on her, on top of her head, like, hey, baby, I love you. Let me just not focus on your drawing at all, but just get back to the code. but I love it, and the girls, my two girls, they seem to get it. They know that they can at any moment just invade my space and do whatever they want. I'm completely fine with it. So, and sometimes my daughter will pull me and say, "Daddy, let's go on the beach," and she'll change into a bathing suit, and then she starts to tug on me, and I'm like, "Okay, you know what? You can always save. You can always, you know, spend an hour or two on the beach and then come back to it." And I'm happy when she does that as well, because then it causes me to take a break. I have a problem switching off too, Julian.
Yeah, the kids don't care. They know what they want. That's a good call. You know what? I should say it as well, Bob and I as well. Kudos to our wives for giving us the space to do this. Like right now while we're recording, I know my wife is downstairs making the boys' lunches for school tomorrow because I didn't get it done before the recording. I got the baby's bottles washed and all that stuff done, but yeah, no, she's a superstar.
Yes. Same shout out to my wife. There's something, I mean, it has to be said, right? Like when you're solving problems and I think it's a bit inherent to code or programming or developer that, you know, if you want to solve that problem or something's not working, you get like very, it's very addicting and you really want it solved. Well, there's not a deadline, right? But it has to, it just bugs you, you know? Mm. And yeah, that means more
it bugs
hours
you.
Into the dark and in late night. Yeah.
Like I'll be laying down, you know, ready. You know, I'm like, I'm in bed now. But I'm like, oh, and I look over, I see my wife, and I kind of do this crawling motion out of bed. I'm going back to it.
I feel the pain. Today, driving home, I had an app idea that I wanted to share with Bob, but I was driving the car. I couldn't touch my phone. I couldn't write anything down. So I'm like, you know, Mel, I'm going to tell you this. Don't let me forget. So I know the pool, but just everyone knows this, we are going to be playing this back for our wives, just this specific past 2 minutes. So
that's a clipping.
Spoiler right. Alert. Yeah. Let's move on.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. And we're actually coming to
this has been a Pie Bites podcast. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, we are coming to the end. And thanks, Ryan, for sharing all this this gold and yeah,
Thank you.
Fascinating. Is there one final piece of advice you want to give our audience before we wrap it up?
Man, listen, go for it. I think the one thing I can say is you just got to do it. Any kind of like reservations about not doing it and kind of reservations about whether or not I can't, I can tell you that you can. It's highly attainable and within your reach to just do it. if you don't have or the mindset to, for example, to join a program like PDM or some mentorship program, which I believe you really should. And my reasons for saying that is because just having someone to lean on is just by all stretches of the imagination, one of the best things that you can do for business, for life, you know, even in marriage, just having a mentor is fantastic. Even, you know, your spouse, a significant other, when you're going through something that's like work related or completely unrelated to your marriage, it's so much easier to talk to that life partner about that. And even just because, you know, that person is like a cheerleader on your side that will agree with everything you said. Yeah. And he shouldn't have done that. And, you know, or she shouldn't have said that, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, that's right. at least you have that at home, you know. Seriously, just go for it. And it's completely within your reach to do something. Software development for me is being like a bit of wizardry. It's made me feel like, wow, you know, I love the process of creation. And now I am a creator as well.
That's awesome. I love it, man. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Before we close off the episode, as we always do, books. So Bob, do you want to go first? And Ryan, that'll give you a second to think of it. But what are you reading at the moment, Bob?
Good question. I started an interesting book, Walter Isaacson, El Código de la Vida, but that's of course a translation of The Code of Life, his new biography.
Oh, yeah. No, never heard of it. Thanks for... Well, okay, hey, just quick, where did you even find out about this book?
In the bookstore. It's a biography, Jennifer.
It's a place, Julian, that people that love to read go and pick up books. And when there's an interesting title, we say, hey, that looks interesting.
Actually, there's a funny story behind this. So Walter Isaacson, right? Many years ago, I read the Steve Jobs. Yeah, is amazing, right? And he did many more, like Da Vinci and all that. Then I was at the doctor, and he was reading a thick book. I thought, oh, Walter Isaacson. And it's actually called The Codebreaker, Jennifer Doudna, Gene Editing and the Future of the Human Race. So it's kind of a relevant book these days, and where the future is going, right? So, Walter Isaacson writes in a very engaging way. So good read so far. It will take me 3 months, but I will get there.
Nice. All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to say quickly to Bob, I love his writing. In fact, I actually didn't realize that you were saying Walter, the way we say it here is Isaacson, but you say Isaacson. And so initially I didn't recognize the name.
Excuse my Dutch or Spanish. Yeah.
No. I'm not saying that the way you said it was wrong, but it kind of is, right?
It is. I tell you.
totally kidding. I enjoyed the Steve Jobs as well. But the only thing I've really been reading is a lot of code. Just a few days ago, I think, so Bob, you and I, we were having a Slack conversation, and I think, you shared with me some new books that you were looking to get into. And it actually made me think that, wow, you know, the last thing that I seriously read was the book you and I read together, Nassim Taleb. And so I have a stack of books in my office that a friend gave me when they were moving from, they sold their place. And the book that I'm reading now, and so I picked this one up that night. And the one I'm reading now is Night by Elie Wiesel. Mm. And so, yeah, it's quite an engaging book. Do you know of it, Julian?
No, never heard of it. I'm Googling it right now, quietly.
Yeah. No, it's extremely engaging. I get the feeling that this thing might be a popular book. But, you know, as it is with books that hand-me-downs, you don't get to pre-research anything about it. And so I intentionally did not pre-research anything about it. In fact, It was until about the first chapter, I didn't realize that this person was actually a male writer and not a female, because the name was Ellie Wiesel.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize it was even a male author. And so, but wow, yeah, it's intense.
Cool. No, I love it, man. Very good. I'm going to have to add it to the long list of books. All right, I'll jump in quickly. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned this physical place that you buy books. I don't know what you're talking about. I always thought the Kindle store was where you bought books. No, I'm kidding. While we were walking through the holiday town, beach town that we went to, we spotted this tiny little bookstore, and it's become like a tradition of my wife and myself to go, whenever we go on holiday somewhere, go into the dingiest local bookstore that we can find rather than a big chain and just buy something. Doesn't matter what the cost is, just buy a book, you know, enjoy it, support the local business. But we always find such cool random books. I mean, we went up to Byron Bay a few years ago for a mate's wedding, and I found this great Star Wars book up there as well, and a book on an Australian military operation in the war, whatever it was, I can't remember. But the one I found today, it was this morning, is this beautifully ornate atlas called the Phantom Atlas. So it has nothing to do with coding, I apologize, everyone, but it just caught my eye and I couldn't stop looking at it. And it's this atlas of all of the maps that we used to use throughout history that were completely wrong. So maps that had like giants, islands that didn't exist, beasts that would devour your boat, you know, all sorts of things like that. Those ancient maps you see in TV shows set back then. And a big description of it. It's this beautiful looking book. So I've picked that up this morning. I'm going to dive into it as soon as we finish recording. So let's call it quits.
That's super interesting, Julian. I would love to see that book because, you know, things change over time. Some of the animals that were with us a long time ago are no longer there. And some of the ways that locals describe these things were completely, like really off center. But but we'd be surprised. We'd be surprised. And so we like when you look at the glaciers and the landscape of, say, a place like Iceland, to me, that's pretty magical. And, you know, if I was to see it in a drawing, I'd say no way, you know, if I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, but I can't wait to dig through it. I've just sent you a picture.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, to your phone. So, I'll do an episode on it, I'm sure, one day. But, all right, I think that's that. Bob, what do you think?
So, Ryan, thanks again for sharing all you learned and the interesting things you're doing. We had a blast. And where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
So I guess mostly on Twitter these days, I am Rye Austin. Rye is R-Y underscore Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, like Texas. And so I think that's one of the easiest ways today. Yeah, thank you. And thank you. I really appreciate it again, guys, for having me and also just always encouraging me in what I'm doing and my journey. And likewise, three chairs for PDM.
Thank you. Bytes.
Yeah.
And I did have one question. Like you said, the payroll app, so it's under thepayrollapp.com, right?
No, it's actually shameless plug here. Thank you, Bob. The payroll, that's the payroll.app.
Ads.app. Okay. Yeah. But you said it was mainly for businesses in Bahamas. So can we still use it outside of the Bahamas? Does it work?
With some modifications on my end, absolutely. And so I guess that's kind of like a new build of it where you can select your country and then your certain labor laws would apply.
I just gave you a bunch more work, but might be worth
it. Yeah. Thank you.
Might be interested in this. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll create an issue for every country on the repo. It's fine.
And then Oktoberfest comes around in January.
Perfect. All right, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. This was a blast. I always love having a conversation. I don't even know how long this went for, but I had a blast. So thank you for joining us. And Bob, as always, wonderful conversation.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thank you.
We're back next week. Thanks for listening, all. We hope you enjoyed this episode. To hear more from us, go to pybit.es/friends. That is pybit.es/friends. And receive a free gift just for being a friend of the show.
And to join our thriving Slack community of Python programmers, go to pybit.es/community. That's pybit.es/community. We hope to see you there and catch you in the next episode.